Doubt is something that we experience on an everyday basis. Doubt is something that is natural to us because it's this feeling of something's not right. I'm not sure about what's happening next because I don't know about you, but I can't tell the future. Shocking, I know. I can't tell the future. I don't know what's going to happen the moment that I walk out of the door. So are you sure what's going to happen next? That's what doubt is. Now, doubt with Moses is something very different. Because I remember the story about Moses seeing the burning bush, and all of a sudden God's like, okay, I want you to go, take the staff, go to Egypt. And Moses is like, you got it, God, I'll do it. That's the story that I remember from when I was a kid. It was about, you know, listening to God's voice, responding. And then I read the Bible itself, and I see something very different. Because Moses doesn't do that. Moses doesn't say, you know what, yes, Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to do exactly what you want. Instead, Moses reacts like so many of us react, which says, what? Me? Why'd you pick me? I'm the worst person you could have picked. He says, I'm not good at anything that you want me to do. Don't pick me. And then he goes so far as to say, God, don't send me. That is a very odd story to tell. Because we want to encourage people in their faith, want to be like, you know what? Listen to God's voice. Do whatever he wants you to do, right? He knows what's best. Follow him. And then you have Moses, one of the most important people in the Old Testament, and he doesn't do that. He actually does the opposite. In a moment when he should have been about faith and trusting God, he doesn't do any of that. He instead doubts what's going to happen next. So I want to go through this story to break it down a little bit, because there are things that matter to us that also happen in this story. Because each of us have moments in our life where we doubt. Not necessarily doubt God, but when we doubt ourselves, when we doubt our friends, when we are not sure about what's going to happen next. And there's some stigma about doubt. And I don't want you to feel that way, because there are moments when all of us doubt what's happening next. So, let's break down the story a little bit. So, it starts off with God telling Moses exactly what to do. God says, listen, I want you to go, take yourself, go to Egypt. Already that's a bit of a red flag, because if you remember, Moses fled Egypt because he killed a guy. Pretty good reason for you to not want to go back. I get it. They're going to come after you. Okay. God says, I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to talk to the elders of Israel to tell them what I want them to do. Moses is a nobody at this point. Why would they listen? That's fair. And then he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh to tell him to let my people leave. God is giving Moses a very difficult challenge. It's not just saying, listen, I need you to go to the store and pick me up some eggs and milk and maybe a loaf of bread if you can find it. He's saying, I want you to go to a foreign land where you're wanted for murder. I want you to go to the leader of your people to ask for their help. And then I want you to go to the leader of the country that has enslaved your people for over 300 years. I want you to go to those people and tell them, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants you to let my people go. Put yourself in Moses' position for a minute. That is ridiculous. That is a ridiculous thing to ask. And God does it anyways. So Moses' initial reaction where he says, I am not qualified for this position, is totally natural. It is expected. And notice God doesn't get angry with him for that. He says, listen, I've got you. Moses says, well, what am I supposed to do? God says, here you go. You see this staff? Take it. Put it on the ground. He does, and instantly it turns into a snake. Now that's a pretty cool party trick. But he does it. Now, of course, he has a sign. He has some miracle from God, something he can't do. I can't do that. Chances are you can't do that. If you can, show me afterwards. It'd be really cool. But anyways, he says, this will be the sign. This is so that way people will know that you are from me. But he doesn't just give him one. He gives him two. He gives him another one. He says, listen, take your hand. Put your hand inside of your cloak. Now, I want everybody to take your hand and put it inside your pocket, if you have a pocket. Put it inside your pocket. Okay, everybody got a pocket? Now take it out of your pocket. Did your hand change?
Yes.
Did it significantly change?
Yes.
Yes. Mine did not. Mine looks just the same as when I put it into my pocket. Now Moses does this, and all of a sudden his hand turns white. White like snow. Now this is not a good thing. This is a bad thing. This means his hand is infected with a disease called leprosy, which means he is totally done, finished. Nobody touches him. He is gone forever. But then God takes it back. He's like, just so you know, this is another sign, another miracle from me. He does this to prove a point, which is that the doubt isn't the problem. God's giving him a sign to deal with his doubt. He doesn't die yet. He will eventually, but not yet. Now Moses sees these signs and he chooses to go to Egypt. He takes up his staff and he walks. No, that's actually not what happens. Moses does not do that. Moses says, I am not the right person. I am not gifted. I am not eloquent. It means I can't speak very well. I am very slow. I'm simple. I am the worst person you could send on this mission. Send somebody else. And God responds by saying, okay, first of all, I made your mouth, I made your tongue, I made your ears, I made your eyes, I made everything about you. So if I tell you to go, I will help you. I've got this. I know how your eyes work. I know how your ears work. So that means I can, you know, tweak them a little bit. You can make them a little bit better. He's going to help Moses. And Moses says, okay, God, that's good enough for me. Except for Moses doesn't do that. Moses does not say that. Moses says, Lord, please send somebody else. And then God gets angry. Now, why does he get angry? He didn't get angry when Moses said at the beginning, why would they listen to me? He doesn't get angry when Moses says, I'm not eloquent, I can't speak well, I can't do any of these things. Why does he get angry at the end? There's a friend of mine, and he would occasionally ask people to go out to food with him. And he would text them, and he'd say, hey, are you free on this day? And then the person would say, no, not free. He'd say, okay, well, what day are you free? And they'd say, oh, I don't know, I need to check my calendar. Or they would say, oh, I have some event that I have to go to. And he'd say, oh, well, that's interesting, can you tell me more about it? And they wouldn't have any answer because it was an excuse that they made up. They didn't want to go with him. And he knew it. So he would be annoying. He would just keep poking and poking and being like, oh yeah, where is it? How far away is it? How long is it going to be? Are you driving? Are you taking the bus? Are you going to be... Because he knew what was actually happening. They didn't want to go anywhere with him. They didn't want anything to do with him. But they were just too polite to say what they actually thought. And that's what Moses is doing. Moses doesn't want to go to Egypt. He doesn't think that it's good what's happening to the people there, but he fundamentally does not want to go. So he's coming up with all these excuses about why he shouldn't go. And God loses it. Because he's like, are you kidding me? Seriously? You can do magic tricks, which is what essentially miracles are, magic tricks from God. You can make a snake appear and then turn into a stick again. You can cause water to turn into blood. You can make your hand turn into leprosy and then back into regular skin again. All these things you can do and nobody else can do them, and that's not good enough for you. I can make you the most gifted speaker imaginable, better than anybody you've ever seen or heard, and that isn't good enough for Moses. Moses doesn't want to go. And God sends Aaron. God knows what Moses' heart is like, but he's not done with him. So he says, fine, you don't want to go? You don't want to do this for me? I'll send Aaron, but you have to go with him. You have to tell him what I am telling you. So you notice what God does? He gives Moses exactly what he wants, which is somebody else to be in the middle, the one that's the figurehead, the one that everybody pays attention to. But he says, by the way, you actually have to go there as well. Because I'm not going to talk to Aaron. I'm only going to talk to you. Moses doubts himself. He doubts that he's the right person for the job. He doubts that people will listen to him. He doubts that he's even going to make it out alive. He doesn't know. The Egyptians are totally comfortable and capable of killing people. Remember, Moses is the one who got put in the basket because they were killing babies. So the Egyptians, they don't have a problem with killing people they don't like. He believes that somebody else would be better. Moses has seen miracles. He has seen a bush on fire. He has heard a voice coming out from it. That's trippy. That's weird. God is talking to him, telling him things. But deep down, Moses is not confident in himself. He struggles with doubt. And God picks him anyways. He helps him. He tells him that he is the one. He gives him gifts. God knows Moses, and he knows you too. We can doubt ourselves. We are very good at it. Am I doing the right thing? Am I wearing the right thing? Am I taking the right classes? Am I going to the right university? Am I going to be doing this career that my parents want, that my friends think is cool? Am I driving the right car? Do I look good enough? Does anybody like me? Am I actually smart, or do I just think that I'm smart? Moses is just like us. So what happens to Moses? What does Moses do that we should do? Well, the first thing that Moses does is he talks to God. And I'm not talking about a superficial talk where it's like, hey God, so I really need your help today, and if you could, you know, help me pass that exam, it would be really great. I'm not talking about that. Moses is honest in prayer. He talks to God the way that he would talk to anybody that he knows deeply, intimately. Prayer is often that thing that we're taught where it's kind of like when I was a kid, you were just supposed to say the names of your family, your loved ones, as if God would somehow hear that and be like, oh, I understand. Susan, yes, I will protect her. That's how it was always phrased to me. But prayer isn't like that at all. Prayer is a conversation between me and God. It's when I talk to him and I show him what matters most to my heart. And then he hears and he listens. How do you and your best friend talk? How do your parents talk to you? And how is that different from how you talk to God? Moses shares everything with God. Everything. I mean, think about it this way. God knows everything that you are thinking, everything you've done, every experience you've had. He knows it all already. So why not just share it with him? Share the things that you're already afraid of. In my experience, when there are things that we're afraid of, that we're anxious about, when we have doubts about certain things, it is encouraging to share it with somebody. To have a friend come alongside and say, that's ridiculous. Of course you're going to do well at your job. Of course people like you. Of course you're smart. Yes, you are pulling off those shoes. It's great. Talk to God. When you have doubts, it doesn't mean all of a sudden you can't talk to him. Doubts are not the problem. It's what you do with those doubts. Because Moses has doubts, and what does he do? Does Moses stay in the cave forever? Does he continue being a shepherd? No. Moses goes. And he's terrified. He's afraid. And Moses goes out and does stuff. He is scared he's going to die. He's doubting that people will even listen to him. There's no guarantee that he is actually going to end up well in this story. And we don't have many guarantees either. We like to believe that, you know what, you go to school, and then you go to high school, and then you're going to go to university, or college, or trade. Then you're going to get a job, maybe you're going to get married, maybe you're going to have kids, you're going to have, you know, friends, you're going to go on vacation, you're maybe have grandkids one day, and then you're going to retire, and then you're going to die. That's the way that we see it. There's no guarantee that you're going to get any one of those things. There's no guarantee that you're going to get the job that you want, the wife or husband that you want, the kids that you want. There's no guarantee. And God does not give Moses any guarantee other than his word. And that's good enough for Moses. Moses may doubt God, he may be unsure, but he still walks. Doubt is not the issue. It's what you do with your doubt. If you walk with it, doing the right thing anyways, there's no issue. If you run from your problems because of it, that's when you have an issue. Moses does what is difficult for him. He runs towards his fears, not away from them. And the third thing is Moses grows. Moses at the beginning is doubtful. He doesn't believe God. He is unsure about what's going to happen. But through his experiences with God, he grows. The man in front of the burning bush is not the same man who walks down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. He's not the same one who is leading God's armies into battle. He is not the same person. He has grown. He has changed. He has matured. He knows what now he can do with God because he has seen what God has done in his life. So the hard thing is for those of us who are young, and I still count myself as a young person, it's that we don't have that experience. We don't have the same level of experience as perhaps your grandparents or your parents who have a long history with God, who have seen how he has blessed them, how he has shown them that he cares and that he loves for them. We are not done growing yet. We may doubt ourselves today, but tomorrow, who knows? Now, I used to be self-conscious about dancing. I used to think that I was terrible at it, that everybody would make fun of me, that everyone would look and be like, "You are the worst possible dancer ever." And I can remember one of my friends coming up to me and saying, "We should dance." And I said, "No, not happening." And then they grabbed me and they pulled me up and they started to dance anyways. I doubted that I could do it because I had never been taught. I was self-conscious about myself and I thought, this is not going to end well for me. And you know what? Nobody cared. Nobody noticed. And if they did notice, who cares? Didn't matter to me anyways. Because even if I looked silly, I enjoyed it. And more importantly, Jesus still loved me anyways. Faith deals with doubt. Trusting in Jesus gives us something to deal with our doubt. So even when we mess up, even when we screw up, even when we fail a test or we drop out of university, he is still with us. He still believes in us. And if we are walking with him, we can do things that terrify us. Hebrews 11, it says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Faith is the opposite of doubt. It is the remedy to doubt. Faith is trusting God, not when we are not afraid, but when we are afraid, when we are not sure about what happens next. Faith changes our lives by taking doubt that normally would cripple us, not knowing what's going to happen next, and saying, "No matter what, I will be with you." By trusting in Jesus, by talking to him, by doing the right thing even when we are afraid, we will grow with God. We will stop being scared of those things that normally would just stop us in our tracks. We cannot beat our fears and our doubts alone. Moses could not do it. He needed God to intervene, to say, "Listen, I know you have a problem believing me, but I'll give you a staff, I'll give you the leprosy, I'll give you the blood that disappears out of nowhere. I will give you these things. And then I'll even give you Aaron. Not because you deserve it, but because I need you to go to Egypt." God could have used anybody else other than Moses. He could have. It is within his power to have taken anybody else. He could have taken Jeff off the side of the road and he could have said, "Jeff, I am appointing you to be my prophet to Egypt. I want you to go and set the Israelites free." And he doesn't do it. He chooses Moses. Moses, the guy who's afraid, the guy who doubts. He chooses that guy. Because Moses is not perfect. And we are not perfect. God is good because he loves imperfect people. He forgives us when we do bad things, when we don't trust him. He even sent his son to die for us. If that isn't love, what is? He frees us to do what is right, even when we are afraid. He gives us strength to deal with our fears with him. He has my back and his yours. Now, Moses was given the staff as a sign that God was going to be with him. What do we have? Do you have a staff? How many people here were baptized? Did you get a staff when you were baptized, being like, God is with you? There's a photo that we took in Cuba where one of my friends, he had a long lens camera, and I found a stick on the side of the beach. And I remember thinking that it was really cool. So I picked it up and I saw him, and he was waving at me in the distance, so I lifted up the stick to say, like, hi, I'm here. And I have that photo still to this day, because he looked at me and said, that's your Moses picture. Because it's me with a short sleeve shirt with flip-flops in the water walking towards him with my stick. That was my staff. But we don't get a staff from God saying, I will be with you until the end. Instead, we get Jesus. Now, Jesus is alive. The stick is dead. The stick's not going to talk to you. It's not going to transform in front of your eyes. But Jesus is there for you. He sends his Holy Spirit to heal your heart. And he's better than any stick. Doubt does not disqualify you from being a Christian. Doubting, being unsure of what God wants to do in your life, doesn't mean you can't come to church. Doesn't mean you can't have a good relationship with God. Moses doubted, and look what happened to him. Look at all the cool things he got to see, all the miracles, all the wonders, all the things he did not deserve. So if you are experiencing doubt, that does not mean you can't be here, and it does not mean that God does not love you, because he does. But my encouragement would be to take your doubt and give it to God. To pray and say, listen, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I am unsure. I am doubting what is next. And watch and see what he's going to do. Because he will take your doubt and he will turn it into faith. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you put up with us, even when we do doubt you, even when we are unsure what happens next. Lord, your love is so good that you take somebody even as imperfect as Moses, even somebody as imperfect as me, and you can do something with us. I would ask, Lord, if there is anybody here who is struggling with some form of anxiety or doubt, or unsure about what is happening next in their life, my prayer would be that you would pour out your love on them, that they would feel your presence even now, that they would know that even if they don't know what's going to happen next, that you do, and that you will see them through, that you will be with them even until the end of their age. I ask all these things. Amen.